If I could have said at least the first part of that, I think it would have been like guessing Rumpelstiltskin's name and then speaking it out loud. But I didn't say any of it. I told her it was just the pace of college. I had to redefine what studying meant, learn some new habits. But I could do it. I was sure I could. She stood there a moment longer, her arms crossed and her hands deep in her housecoat sleeves. She looked sort of like a Chinese mandarin when she stood that way. And then she said, "I'll always love you, Pete. Your father, too. He doesn't say it, but he feels it. We both do. You know that." "Yeah," I said, "I know that." I got up and hugged her. Pancreatic cancer was what got her. That one's quick, at least, but it wasn't quick enough. I guess none of them are when it's someone you love. "But you have to work hard at your studies. Boys who don't work hard at them have been dying." She smiled. There wasn't much humor in it. "Probably you knew that." I heard a rumor. "You're still growing," she said, tilting her head up. "I don't think so." "Yes, at least an inch since summer. And your hair. Why don't you cut your hair?" "I like it the way it is. It's as long as a girl's. Take my advice, Pete. Cut your hair. Look decent. You're not one of those Rolling Stones or Harmon's Hermit, after all." I burst out laughing. I couldn't help it. "I'll think about it, Mom. Okay?" "You do that." She gave me another hard hug, then let me go. She looked tired, but I thought she also looked rather beautiful. "They're killing boys across the sea," she said. "At first, I thought there was a good reason for it. But your father says it's crazy, and I'm not so sure he isn't right. You study hard. If you need a little extra for books, or a tutor, we'll scrape it up." "Thanks, Mom. You're a peach." "Nope," she said. "Just an old mare with tired feet. I'm going to bed." I studied another hour. Then all the words started to double and triple in front of my eyes. I went to bed myself, but couldn't sleep. Every time I started to drift, I saw myself picking up a heart's hand and beginning to arrange it in suits. Finally, I let my eyes roll open and just stared up at the ceiling. "Boys who don't work hard at their studies have been dying," my mother had said. And Carol telling me this was a good time to be a girl. Lyndon Johnson had seen to that. "We chasing the bitch. Pass left or right. Jesus Christ, fucking Riley shooting the moon." Voices in my head. Voices seeming to seep out of the very air. Quitting the game was the only sane solution to my problems, but even with the third-floor lounge 130 miles north of where I was lying, it had a hold on me, one which had little to do with sanity or rationality. I'd amassed 12 points in the Uber tourney. Only Ronnie, with 15, was now ahead of me. I didn't see how I could give those 12 points up, just walk away and leave that windbag Malenfant with a clear field. Carol had helped me keep Ronnie in some sort of perspective, allowed me to see him for the creepy, small-minded, bad-complexioned gnome that he was. Now that she was gone,